from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sheridan.
Did you know you're special?
Well,
special.
No, I didn't.
I'm special. So special.
Special. Today we're going to talk about the word.
Have some of your attention. Give it to me.
I'm going to reach across
I'm glad
this
that
table.
This table is too long. This longer than your reach, pal.
Yeah. Well, we gave you a homework assignment. So let's look up the words. Especially.
And why are we doing this?
Because 1 Timothy 4 says God is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers.
Yeah, and we're crazy because we believe God is the Savior of all mankind. Yeah.
Not exclusively.
If it was exclusively, then that would screw the pooch, and Christ will have failed in his mission to save all mankind, right? We believe like the Arminians that he came to save all mankind, and we believe he will. And he did. He sealed it.
Can you imagine that? I mean, now think about it from Christ's perspective. He came to save all mankind, but his father's not willing to do it.
Oh, man, I'd be pissed if I was him. If my father sent me to save all mankind, and his father, nope, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to give it to 10,000 people.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, 1 Timothy 4:10, faithful is a saying and worthy of all welcome. For this saying, are we toiling and being reproached, that we rely on the living God. See, he's the living God in contrast with idols. When you see that phrase, living God, it's contrast with false gods, right? And notice the context of the living God, who is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. If your God is not a Savior of all mankind, you have a false God. You have an idolatrous, you have an idol, which is a false thing. One of the commandments, remember, no other gods before me, right?
Wow, yeah.
So to teach that God is not the Savior of all mankind is to have an idol.
Wow, that's not even the true God then. That's not
no,
the true God. They're
not
worshiping.
The true
they're
God.
Not worshiping the true God
that's
and
exactly
denominational
right.
Christendom.
So here we have the word especially. Now, there are a couple references, and I just want to show you the usage. So turn first to Acts 20:38 if you want to read that.
Acts 20:38,
the word especially.
In context, starting with verse 37, now there came to be considerable lamentation by all, and falling on Paul's neck, they kissed him fondly, being pained especially at the word which he had declared, that no longer are they about to behold his face.
Yeah, you see that? You see the context of the word? Does it have to do with exclusive? No, there was they were lamenting about his whole speech he gave in Acts 20.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one line in there especially that got them.
They were pained especially at the word which he said he wouldn't
see. You see how that word is
anymore.
Used?
Yeah.
I'm going to run to another one. Turn to Galatians. We're not going to look at everyone, but let's turn to Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10 is another reference to this word especially.
Okay, I'm turning to. Oh, this is a good one. Can I read it?
Go ahead. You can. Raise your hand. Okay, Martin, your turn.
Thanks. Consequently then, this is Galatians 6:10, as we have occasion, we are working for the good of all, yet especially for the family of faith.
Isn't that interesting?
That's beautiful. That's a
good
one.
See, we want to conform our lives to the message we proclaim. We can look at all of our enemies as potential friends. Why? Because we see the goal. Even the unbelievers are potential friends because one day God's going to save them. And so we're to be good to all, especially. To the family of faith.
Not exclusively.
Not exclusively.
This is a parallel verse to our passage in 1 Timothy 4:10. And if we're to take this like the Orthodox Christian religion takes it, they don't believe that God's the Savior of all mankind because they think he's the Savior only of believers, exclusively of believers, but he's the Savior of all, especially of believers. You would have to, if you're going to maintain that disposition, you're going to have to say here that we're working for the good of all, yet only for the family of the faith. But
right.
Paul says you're not going to not work for all, but you're going to especially work for the. It doesn't throw out the all. And what you're doing in 1 Timothy 4:10, many of you're throwing out the all. God's the Savior of all. You're throwing that out. If you did that here, you're not going to do that here. You wouldn't make that mistake here because this isn't theological. You wouldn't say, well, Paul doesn't mean that we're supposed to do good to all. He just doesn't mean that. But that's what it says. No, you wouldn't say that here, because obviously we're working for the good of all, especially the family of faith. We can use our common sense here because it's not theological. Yes, we do good for everybody, but we want to do especially nice things for the family of faith. But all of a sudden, 1 Timothy 4:10, when we're getting theological, now we lose our regular minds. You can read this passage with your regular mind. You throw that out when you get to 1 Timothy 4:10, and then you say it's only believers. No. If it's as true as this is, then he is the Savior of all mankind. But the especially part is that he's going to give those who believe aeonian life, life during the kingdom, just like we especially do special nice things for the family of faith. We bake them 10 cookies, whereas the other ones, we only bake them 5 cookies. But for the love of God, they get cookies.
Philippians 4:22.
Why is it that we lose our regular, when we talk about normal things,
we
can speak normally, especially, yeah, do good to all, especially. But when we get to theological things, all of a sudden we freak out, we have a brain freeze, and we just don't look at it for what it says. That's why these parallel passages are so helpful, because they take us to, quote, normal situations.
Yeah.
And if we can get it from the normal situation, we can transplant it to the theological situation and arrive at truth.
Ah, Philippians 4:22.
It says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Greeting you are the brethren with me. Greeting you are all the saints, yet especially those of Caesar's house.
An interesting there.
Another practical example.
All the saints were greeting them where Paul was writing from.
Greeting all the saints. Yeah. All the saints are greeting
all
you.
All the saints, yet especially.
Especially.
Those of Caesar's household. They had a special greeting.
Wait a minute. That means that only those in Caesar's house were greeting, right?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, right.
It doesn't mean that all we're greeting them.
All right. Well, the next one we saw is 1 Timothy 4:10. But let's see how this word is used in this letter, in the same letter of 1 Timothy 4:10, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8.
Okay, 1 Timothy 5:8. Now, if anyone is not providing for his own, and especially his family, he has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Hmm.
Yeah, especially his family.
Especially.
Yeah.
Right
down the line. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, verse 17, same chapter.
Really? There's another one in the same chapter?
Same chapter.
Let elders who have presided ideally be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who are toiling in word and teaching. So you're not supposed to give double honor to those other ones, right? No, you're supposed to give double honor to all, especially those who are toiling in word.
Yeah.
I'm getting the hang of this, aren't I?
Titus 1:10.
For many are insubordinate, vain praters, and impostors, especially those of the circumcision. It doesn't eliminate that the others are also, but the circumcision are really bad cases.
All right, Philemon, verse 15 and 16. Let's read that one.
Philemon, which verse?
15 and 16.
For perhaps therefore is he separated for an hour, that you may be collecting him as an aeonian repayment, no longer as a slave, but above a slave, a brother beloved especially to me. A brother beloved especially to me. Yet how much rather to you.
So how does this word especially being used?
It's being used in the sense that you're giving more to one group, but it's not eliminating the broader group.
Exactly. So this is the usage of this phrase especially. And so when coming back to our text, again, and I want to hammer this home, we want to have the right God. And here's how you know you have the right God. Verse 9 of 1 Timothy 4. Pardon me.
What did you have for breakfast?
I don't remember. 1 Timothy 4:9. For faithful is the saying, and I had oatmeal with blueberries with flaxseed oil sprinkled on top of it.
Oh, I had the same thing.
Faithful is the saying and worthy of all welcome. Gosh, this is the most unwelcome statement, though.
Yeah,
if this now, if what we're about to tell you, you don't like and you're not going to welcome it, you need to consider where you stand.
Definitely.
Okay. For this are we toiling and being reproached. You and I have been kicked off radio stations and kicked out of fellowships, and people pursued after us. We've had one calling for our death on a website for teaching this message.
I've had people cross on the other side of the sidewalk in my town.
Okay. So, for this we are toiling and being reproached, that we rely on the living God.
Excuse me.
The living God.
Excuse me. I rely on the living God.
The living God.
Yeah.
The living God. Not an idol.
Right.
The living God.
And what does that living God do?
It says here, who is? That phrase, who is. All right, who is the living God? Okay, You want to know who the living God is?
Yeah.
All right, he is the one who is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers.
So he gives the believers more than the others, but he also saves the others.
Exactly.
And what are there except believers and unbelievers? Is there any other category, Dan, that's left out here?
No, and you know what the difference between a believer and unbeliever is today?
What?
God has not given the unbeliever
faith.
That's
right.
And so you out there who think that you made a wise decision, you know what? That is arrogance. That's boasting. You think that you saved yourself is what it really comes down to. Faith is the gift of God, and if God doesn't give you faith, you're not a believer. If God gives you faith, you're a believer. It's not out of you. Get that in your head. The only reason we reject the message, the teaching of the living God, is because we're arrogant. We're self-righteous. We think that we deserve something that those dirty, rotten sinners don't deserve. Guess what, dear ones? Guess what, friends? Guess what, buddy? Guess what, pal? You are going to be vivified. You are going to be in... what's the word? At the consummation, when God saves all mankind, you, Adolf Hitler, Genghis Khan, Mother Teresa, Hugh Hefner.
Not Mother Teresa.
Rob Halford from Judas Priest, Robert Plant, your priest in your town, and the stripper at the club that you've been trying to shut down, you're all going to stand with God, and we're all going to be part of the same family because God is the Savior of all mankind. The work of Christ is effective. It's going to reach each, every individual.
And if you are embracing this, or if this sounds right to you, but you're in your room or you're in your car right now, and you go, oh, my God, this sounds right, but... if I start believing this, I'm going to stop right there. I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. You will suffer reproach, and that's exactly what Paul says. For this we are toiling and being reproached. Why in the world would you be reproached for believing in a God who's the Savior of all mankind? The only way this could happen is if the church is in a state of apostasy, and if the church denies that God is the Savior of all mankind. And that is exactly what happened, and that is the situation you find yourself in today. Now, I say to you, embrace this, be bold, because whatever measure you suffer now, for the sake of this good news, you will be rewarded in heaven 1,000 times. The trials of this life are nothing compared to what you are coming into. Be bold and embrace the truth. Don't be afraid. Fear not. There are others who believe this. Many, many, many believe this, but they're not in the institution. They're coming out of the institution. They're gathering at kitchen tables with coffee and the Bible, and they're finding out these things. And you...
that's right.
And you are not alone, I promise.
And Saturday morning will be a Joe and Cheryl sitting with fellow believers, drinking coffee, eating
grapes.
We have
a Bible study in Indianapolis.
And just talk about God together.
Yes, we have a Bible study when we're not on the air.
It's not on Sunday morning, and there's no offering plate, no stained glass windows, no robes, no choir lofts, no baptistry.
I kind of wish we had choir robes.
None of that stuff.
I kind of wish
don't need it. Don't need it. Don't need it. We have Christ. We don't need it. We don't need it. If you have Christ, you don't need religion. If you have Christ, you don't need ceremony. If you have Christ, you got it all. Don't go back to the garbage. Have a great weekend.